Are you stuck at home in lockdown? Yeah, I know, we all are. Don't worry, we've got you covered, because it's time once again for Live at Night with Pete Ferrero, where whatever happens, happens. Now, along with his special guests, here is your host, Pete Ferrero.
I think we're live here at night, and today I wanted to do something fun and interesting and different. So I decided to, I thought it was would be cool to celebrate female photography, and you guys are all top-notch, the best of the best here. Some of my favorites to work with, though, Kesha, I have not worked with you yet, but I went to your website and just thought it was absolutely amazing and incredible. And these three couldn't say enough nice stuff about you, so they're just excited to talk to you and get to know you. Anyway, why don't I let you – I don't introduce people on the show because I'm terrible at it, so I'll let everybody introduce themselves, and then we'll jump into some of this. Vanessa.
Oh, I get to go first. So I'm Vanessa Joy. I'm a wedding photographer in the New York and New Jersey area, and I photograph – roughly 20 weddings a year and spend the rest of my time making YouTube channel stuff and speaking around the world and taking care of my kids.
Nice. And you make great TikTok videos.
I'm getting into TikTok more recently, which is interesting and a little intimidating.
I love that today. We'll share that maybe. Okay. Sharmi, what you got?
I feel like I should just repeat exactly what she said, except I don't do YouTube. I'm a wedding photographer in New York and New Jersey. I teach for Nikon and all over the place, and I don't do anything on YouTube because
it's okay.
I don't know how to use it.
This is Live at Night on YouTube. No,
I don't do anything myself on YouTube.
I'm just kidding.
And I'm gonna do TikTok, but only for dancing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not doing TikTok. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, Katya, what you got?
Similar profile. Wedding and portrait photographer in the New York tri-state area. We do weddings all over the U.S. and internationally also. Mom of three boys, set of twins, and a ninth grader. I also do some photography education. I have a YouTube channel, a struggle channel, that I will try to post more content to. But yeah, I do have one. And I blog.
Nice.
That's me in a nutshell.
Cool. Adrian.
Hi, I'm Adrian. I'm a New Jersey table dancer. I am also a wedding photographer, mainly in New Jersey, some New York, randomly around here and there. I just joined forces with my wife, and we're starting from the beginning with Electric Love Studios. And I enjoy mowing the lawn and light carpentry work, power tools when I'm not doing anything in photography.
And gardening.
Home gardening, growing vegetables. I don't have children. I have pets. And, TikTok. Yes, I've participated in a TikTok just to prove to my friends that we could do it.
One.
All right, cool. So listen, I want to ask you guys first, before we get into talking about celebrating the images and your the way you kind of approach a wedding day and all that stuff, I want to talk a little bit about this coronavirus and just how it's affecting each of your businesses, and what kind of things are you reassuring your brides and grooms on, and maybe even other vendors and people that you teach to. So it doesn't really matter who starts first, but let's go to Sharmi, because why not?
I think I've been really good about getting ahead of it, and like I'm in constant contact with my couples. And then starting today, this was an idea that I stole from my friend Nicole Chan, but I'm sending them, you know, I wanted to do something for them, but I couldn't get my act together on it. And she was like, why don't you just send them like cake from their local place? So I'm going to send them some liquor and some cake on their should have been wedding day. And just, you know, I want them to feel like I'm thinking about them and I'm on top of it. And that has helped me not have to talk about my contract, because I don't want to talk about it. And if everybody's happy, we don't have to talk about it. So, just like making sure they feel good about what they're going to eventually get. Most of my clients were planning on having tremendously large weddings. And so almost all of them so far, my next wedding, if I have to shoot one, is August 29th.
Wow.
But almost everyone has rescheduled. I had 7 in July originally. They're all rescheduled for next year. And I don't care what date they take. It's fine. I had 19 weddings for this year. I wanted to take 15. I ended up taking 19. But multi-day. So I also think like you don't want to take a 400 people 4-day wedding and turn it into a 10 people wedding and spend the same amount of money. It just doesn't make sense. So yeah, everyone's shifting over to next year. And then I am just, I laid myself off.
Nice. Did you have a nice conversation?
Yeah, it was tough.
But you understood where she was.
I understood. Yeah. She tried to go gentle on me. So I laid myself off. I'm like, the business can carry itself for like my operating expenses without actually adding anything to it. I should be fine for a while. So, you know, we'll be okay. This is not fun for anybody.
Yeah, that's the truth.
No. So yeah, just making sure that my clients feel good, like I'm paying attention, even though I'm homeschooling, which is super fun.
said no one ever. By the way, speaking from someone who's homeschooled for almost 10 years.
Homeschooling might be okay. This is like wild crisis schooling. Like homeschooling, if I got in charge of the curriculum, I'd be like, all right, we're doing this for an hour or two and it's going to be stuff I like and understand and like we can run with it. I'm not one of those parents who's like, I don't like Common Core math. Like that's how I learned math and I love it. It's more just like, I don't even understand what you were talking about when you gave this assignment to this child over the internet. And I don't know, like, I dare. yeah, no. And they're doing their best too. It just sucks for everybody.
Kesha, what about you? How are you reassuring clients? What are you saying? What's been happening with you?
So all of April through, it's interesting. I do still have a May wedding that, is kind of in limbo and undecided, which I don't, you know, I anticipate that they're going to change their date. One in June, I would say I'm like 80% of the people through, July are rescheduled or postponed into 2021. Some of them push their dates into the fall. Just keeping the lines of communication open. Empathy goes a long way in situations like this.
Yeah.
And lots of talking and reassuring that we will make this a seamless process.
Yeah.
If possible.
How about you, Vanessa?
Well, I've had everything through July cancel, and I've even had one, not cancel, reschedule, and I've even had one November wedding reschedule. And it's just, you know, it's taking it day by day. I'm really happy that I have done the Dave Ramsey method for the past few years, so I have an emergency run fund, so I'm not completely panicking. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when there's no end in sight, you know, you just don't know. So you kind of buckle down, do the best you can. And for me, I'm like dying for all the photographers out there, especially the ones that were going to work for me or my husband. And all I want to do is find a way to give them some kind of job and some kind of income, but I've got nothing. Nobody
I'll
does.
Mow your lawn. Vanessa, I'll mow your lawn. I'll come over there.
You can do that. My guy's way too expensive.
No, I know what you mean. Adrian, what about you? How are you handling this?
Yeah. Well, I'm handling it well. I'm happy. I'm not feeling down. I'm positive. I know this will eventually end. I do have a strong concern for finances. I mean, I feel very lucky on the wedding end because we only had a few reschedules. Two weddings this summer happened to be friends of mine. One is a couple that had hired me and then they became friends, like real legitimate friends, not like,
yes,
not coincidence. What am I looking for?
I know what you're trying to say.
Acquaintance, not like they're real friends. So their wedding was in May. That got postponed to July. I'm concerned for them that they may potentially postpone again. Another couple, so my next wedding, if July happens, if or doesn't happen, whichever, it the next one after that would be August. So everything else has been rescheduled. And then from fall on, I'm okay. And I've just been a yes. Anything that I can do for people, finding a way to make it work. I'm just a yes to that. And I know some people have policies about, like, I'm charging a move day. I don't know if anyone's doing that anymore. No. Charging that, but I just want them to feel like this is going to be seamless. Yes, I can do it. Tell me what you want. I'm going to make it happen. And that's what I've been doing. And just being in communication, sending messages, sending, you know, little photos to them, joking around. Like, I've Photoshopped my friends onto unicorns in scenes and stuff. And just like sent that to a couple that they actually had it was going to be a guest at their wedding. I'm on a tangent, but nonetheless, they're now hiring us to photograph them here. They've canceled the wedding. We're going to do a photo shoot down in Asbury. And, so I photoshopped them onto a unicorn for, a nice pick me up. And that's what I'm doing for people.
That's my question for you guys too, is there, as we move forward, we all kind of talked the same July, August. I have some in July that have not moved yet, but I'm sure they're all going to move. But isn't there a little bit of a concern moving forward? What will weddings look like in this year? Even if anyone does decide to have a wedding, do you think you could see limitations on how many people are allowed to be at a wedding? Do you think we're going to get some of that stuff? Sharmi's shaking her head yes.
Tony Hoffer shared a chart yesterday in one of the groups I'm in that talked about risk. I know there's like a movement to open up, like you can like force the government to open up. The problem with that movement is it's not taking into consideration that a lot of corporations close themselves, and a lot of corporations are going to do their own risk assessment before they open up, right? Like Disney did not have to be forced by Florida to close. It closed 3 weeks before Florida closed. And
right.
It's not open up until its own risk assessment is better. And I think that wedding venues are going to have to do similar risk assessments. And they're also going to have a hard time surviving if they honor things like, all right, we can only have 50 if it's safe. If somebody gives them, money for 300, it might be better for them to reschedule and say, like, we want your money for 300, but we'll take it next year. Because imagine the overhead, right? Our overhead doesn't really change. Like, that's why I don't give discounts for 12 people weddings versus 400 people weddings.
Right.
Like, it costs me what it costs me. For them, it's very, very different. So I do think the chart that I saw, it was talking about like the total number of cases versus the size of an event and what the risk looks like. And I think especially in our area where we have a high number of cases, we're talking about a decent amount of risk. And so I think venues are not going to want to put themselves in the middle of that, even if there aren't restrictions, but I believe there will be. And so when I'm talking to my brides, look, I want to make money this year. That's a reality. But at the same time, if I was a bride and I had planned a 4-day, 400 people wedding, and now I had to tone it down to a 25 or 50 people wedding, including all my vendors and staff, and everybody had to sit 6 feet apart, that's not the wedding I want.
Right.
So
yeah, that's not a fun dance floor at all.
I can't even imagine what DJs would do in that, or bands would do in that scenario. When
guys, we have to stop because you didn't leave room for Jesus between you.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the I have a bride that was June 4th, and her planner convinced her to reschedule for July 30th, which I'm booked for. So she's probably hiring another photographer right now. Which sucks, because I think that's going to have to be rescheduled also.
Yeah. I had a couple that was, Kesha doesn't know, but I do video as well. I'm a videographer as well. And I had a couple that had to move their date from like April to May 1st. They were finally happy with May 1st. And then they moved it to like July something. I don't know the specific, but you know that one's gone. one's going again.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you on that, Kesha? Are you worried about that some of the places are going to be, it's going to be tougher to do these bigger size weddings?
Absolutely. It's, and then it's so multi-layered because of the fact that it's a pandemic and it's international. A lot of, you know, I have a couple of couples who have people coming from all over and, or coming from, so, you know, any travel related concerns or, you know, they're impacted. We had someone with a January wedding, January 2021, who is having a lot of international people come in, and she's like, it's just too hot right now.
Literally.
They decided to push their date back. And I think we're going to be in this kind where it's not going to be, I'm not going to flip a light switch and we go back to normal. That we're going to be phasing in. And so.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine, even on a, from a vendor or a professional level, do you guys feel comfortable walking into a wedding of, 200 plus people and doing what you guys normally do, right? You know, getting people together and making them stand close and kissing and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, what does that even look like?
I mean, I shoot mirrorless, so I'm just going to put a clear shield on and I'm
wear a bubble.
Yeah. What do you think, Adrian?
I mean, I'm just thinking about how many times we've all been there, like in a room, in like a groom prep or a bridal prep, but more so the groom prep, sweaty guys and stuff like that, and just like a lot of yelling and loudness. And So I'm visualizing now aerosols. flying, you know? And so just thinking about all that closeness and just ways that I'm also used to operating. And I never just go grab people, but I'll be like, can I move you? Can I adjust this? Can I do that? And I'll fixing the boutonniere, like just really being close with people. Yeah. It's also getting ourselves trained that like we can't be so hands-on.
Well, evidently, if you just inject this sanitizer, we should all be good.
Yeah. I have a UV light downstairs.
I have one right here. I've been turning it on every day. See?
Yeah.
I've been drinking this
every day. Sunscreen on.
You look healthy.
All right, Vanessa, what about you? And then we'll kind of wrap this coronavirus thing. What about you going in? What do weddings look like for you?
You know, I tend not to worry about anything until I need to worry about it. So I have not pictured it. I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to do what I need to do to make a living now, put food on my table, take care of my kids. And whenever that happens, it happens. And I have to think about it. I'll figure it out. I don't picture myself wearing a mask. Or gloves shooting a wedding, just because in general I shoot with longer lenses anyway, like I'm not on top of people. Yeah. And I also really enjoy my personal space, so I tend not get close to anyone even at an event of 400 people. So
it's not my choice though. Ask Rob about what happens to me at weddings.
Yeah, it's true.
When's the last time you guys worked together?
A long time ago, but Rob will remember because I don't think he's ever, maybe someone's made him laugh harder than this, but we were at a wedding.
I'm sure I can think of one person that's made him laugh harder.
Not me. Definitely not me.
Rob and I are standing side by side shooting a ceremony, and I'm wearing something like this. And something keeps touching me. And I'm like, is Rob touching me? Like, what? So I look over and he's not. He's got his hands on his camera. And then I feel it again. And I'm like,
he better what? Have his hands on his camera.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? And so then I get like the third time. I'm like mad now. And I see that it's this woman with her iPhone. Yeah. Like the string is like constantly touching me.
Oh, I see.
And every time I'm about to notice, she pulls it back and then puts it. And I freaked out. I was like, every time you do that, it feels like there's a spider touching me. Get away from me.
The last wedding I did was March 14th, right? The day before this whole pandemic sort of was announced that you could not have a wedding. They knew it that day, but they still went ahead. Anyway, the father of the bride came walking over to me and I was just hanging out, you know, in between time. And he reached over to like, hug because everything was going so great. And I was like, no. That's not how, we're not doing that today. Yeah. No. And I was but he didn't understand. It was an older Italian man. I was like, he feels rejected here, but he doesn't even understand that there's a virus and I don't want to give him it. You know what I mean? Not that I had
you
it.
You just have to be like, I'm sick. I coughed.
So I want to start with asking you all about, kind of about, you know, breaking into photography in general. What was that like for each of you? What is the moment where you're like, hey, I think I want to do this. I think I can kind of rock this. We'll start with Vanessa since we ended on you.
Oh, I have, I can shorten the story, but my mother was a photographer. She did weddings and portraits. So that meant I absolutely hated it and didn't want anything to do with it. And I wasn't a rebellious child on the outward appearance, even though I was at heart. So when I went to high school and had to pick my elective, my mother was right next to me, and I felt like appeasing her that day. So my elective was photography. And I just fell in love with the darkroom. And my high school photography teacher did weddings on the weekends. So naturally, I thought, you know, okay, I want to do photography. I love it. I need to go get a real job, and then I'll do weddings on the weekends. So I got a real job, and I became a Spanish teacher, and I did weddings on the weekends. And I started my business after 5 years of working for this guy, John Hain is his name. And I worked for him and then started my own business the same year I started teaching, and then had to quit halfway through. And oh my God, do I get so excited every September when I do not have to go back to school. I'm so happy.
And then it sort of blossomed, yeah?
It did. And, you know, I couldn't stop teaching, apparently. So now I just teach photography to people actually want to learn versus children who don't want to learn Spanish.
How about Kesha? How did you decide photography? Kesha, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm in space. I have a very cliche story. It's been a hobby for years. It was a hobby since childhood. And when I was in college, I would pull friends aside for them to be my models and experiment and all that wonderful stuff. I'm a lawyer, so I went to law school. So that was my real job pursuit. And photography was just always there. And I started to take it more seriously, like I can do this, when I got laid off from a very cushy job. And it kind of like, I just did a reassessment of what I wanted to do. And simultaneously, opportunities in photography started to open up. I did not have any kind of game plan. It just kind of grew from the ground up organically, me tapping into my network to send referrals to me, and the business grew pretty fast. I wasn't always weddings. When I started out, I had a portrait studio for a few years, and in partnership with a makeup artist, and I started shooting with other photographers as a second, holding people's lights, and I just really fell in love with weddings. And shot my first wedding solo in 2011, dabbled a little bit on and off for the next couple of years, and then started, I would mark 2014 as like the start of me actually calling myself a wedding photographer, because I shot weddings. So yeah, that's kind of how it grew. Was like a natural progression.
Yeah, that's awesome. Adrian, what about you?
Well, similar to Kesha, it started as a hobby, and I just always had a camera. My mom always had a camera everywhere we went, and my brother and I, our lives were so perfectly chronologically documented that it was just a given. Like, you must have photographs. You need these things. And so for my birthday, I'd be like, oh, another camera. Okay. And so it would, but I loved it. It was fun for me. And I became a dental hygienist. And then,
oh my God. That's sorry. I almost became a dental hygienist also.
Well, there we
so
go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I became a dental hygienist. And Jeff Tisman photographed my first wedding. And I just loved him. I felt like, you know, I have a good eye for picking out a photographer because I kind of know. And so I'm like, he's the best. I must use him. And then after my wedding, I wanted to work for him, and I was begging him. I'm like, come on, let me work for you. And he's like, listen, kid. And so basically, this is my career. He's telling me, he's like, this is my career. I'm not here for your hobby. You know, I need to work. And so I was like, no, I'm serious. I'm a hard worker. I'll do whatever you want, blah, blah, blah. So finally, he had people that he was working with, and Drew and Stephen Goebel, and they were all like starting their own businesses. So he's like,
he needed somebody.
He's like, I'm ready for you. So right. Like, listen, don't bring a camera. You're not taking any photos. Don't talk to anybody. You're not their friends.
Right.
It was like this whole, and just so cool. Like, it sounds militant. It didn't say it that way. I'm saying it way worse than he actually said it.
You're making him sound like Gordon Ramsay.
I was a bit serious. I was like, here's my shot. Like, I got to really nail this. So learning from the ground up, holding reflectors, where should the light come from? Why did you use that lens, eh? Why would you use this shutter speed, eh? Why would you do this? And just everything was like, I would call it tough love. And he would, well, that's eventually when he let me bring a camera, that then he started critiquing my work, and he would be like, why did you do this? Why did you do that? And you should have done it this way. And I was like, oh, okay. And so it was just learning through all that. And then eventually there was a day where the wedding was, the timeline was so behind, and he's like, can you go shoot the groom? Can you handle that? And I was like, right on top of that rose. And I ran over and I was like, I'm going to nail this. And I did. And then he was just like, this is what you're doing from now on. And so it became a hybrid, and I would assist. I would second shoot during prep. I would assist during first look, and then I would second shoot during ceremony. And then I would assist during reception. So it was like kind of back and forth. And then eventually it just grew from there. I was simultaneously starting my own business. And at the time I was a hygienist, so I could do both. And that was, I was slowly growing in the business. So I felt like I wasn't jumping into something unprepared. And then eventually I started my business in 2009, and I just grew from there.
Constantly building and whatnot. And it just kind of blows up at some point, right?
Yeah. And it did. And honestly, so the one thing I didn't mention before that does scare me about everything now is that we invested heavily in a new studio. Like,
I was going to ask you about that.
A brand new built studio, like custom four floor plans. There's like wires going from the studio to the office, piped into a projector and a reveal room. Like, so amazing. And I'm just thinking, wow, how am I going to keep paying for this if I can't work? And luckily, our landlord is such an incredible person, and he's
going with the flow.
He's willing to kind of do whatever you know, whatever we can to make it work. I still eventually have to pay for it, but
for sure, no doubt, yeah.
I'm super, super cool. Plus, I can pick him up. I can literally lift him.
You mean physically? Okay, yeah.
I feel like there might be.
Turn into the WWE chat real quick.
Yeah. I just scared him a little bit.
Yeah. Sharmi, how about you? How did you pop in? Adrian, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I think I'm done.
Not like the three of them. I wanted to be a doctor. My parents are both doctors. My sister is a pharmacist. My cousin has been at the CDC for 30 years. Like, wow. I wanted to be a doctor. She's on the response team.
Just real quick, when with being with the CDC, nobody there has suggested that they should ingest the sanitizer, right?
No.
Just for clarity, right? No. Just, we get it officially from.
No, she definitely has not.
Okay.
Yeah. We text every day. If there was a secret, she would have told me.
I'm waiting to find out where that little tidbit, where that popped into someone's brain.
No idea. Okay. She has not suggested.
Okay.
She has maybe suggested I should have a glass of wine occasionally, but no,
that will help.
So everyone in my family, like that's their path. I wanted to be a doctor, and both my parents were like, no, you should not do that. And they talked me out of it, and they wanted me to be a lawyer. And now I realize maybe they just wanted me to be their lawyer. Instead, I got 2 degrees in economics and information technology, and then I didn't use those either.
Right.
I wanted to be in fashion merchandising or buying, And so I did a little bit of trying to grow it at Nordstrom to do that. And then when I got engaged, I hated my job. So like the culture at that company was just icky. And so when I got engaged, I was like, all right, I'm gonna have babies right away and be a stay-at-home mom. That didn't work. So I'm not built for that. I need to do something. I was the most annoying stay-at-home wife. Plus we struggled to have a baby for like years and years and years. I did 6 cycles of IVF to get pregnant with my first. And in the meantime, I was like the most annoying wife who was like, I'm bored, stay at home. And he's like, somebody actually has to make money to pay bills. And so I had an DSLR and I didn't know how to use it. And I was like, I don't understand what the point of this camera is if I don't know how to use it. And so in my boredom, my husband got me the Brian Peterson's Understanding Exposure. And I taught myself, and then I took photographs of a baby, my friend's baby, and then her friends started calling me, and I was like, I don't do anything for free. And then one baby turned into an engagement, turned into a wedding. That wedding was published in The Knot, and there we go.
So that's kind of how you all, walked in. But at some point, you guys all take, this is going to be my approach, right? At some point, you define yourself. Where does that come from, Adrian?
Oh, man, tough question. Let me have.
Okay, well, I'll skip. Kesha. you did a classic Family Feud pass. So. I'll give the other team, yeah.
I think understanding myself and my style only happened fairly recently, and I think it continues to evolve and change. So defining my style and leanings and things, is that what your question is?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, and recently, so I've been in business full time for about 6 years or so. And I would say I had a very clear, I was a dabbler. Like I just was very, I still am very fascinated by all types. Sorry, 1 minute. My pup is.
Your pup has really opinions about your style, I think. She has opinions.
I would say that in the beginning, because I craved a lot of learning, I dabbled in almost everything. There wasn't a thing I wouldn't try. So I was obsessed with steel wool. I was obsessed with experimenting with flash. I was obsessed with natural light. And editing was a whole other ball game. And still now, you know, I find things and I hyper fixate on playing around with them. And it took a while before I fell into, you know, kind of came into myself, saw the things that kind of excited me, inspired me, saw the things that started to make connections between when I was getting some of my best work, what were the common denominators between those things. And that's kind of how I began to define my style and what drives me. And if I had to sum it up, I would say I don't ever want to be bored. I like to push and test and try. And so I'm okay with being uncomfortable and unsure about what the outcome is going to be when I work. Certainly when you provide your creativity as a service for someone, you have to have a certain degree of consistency. Mm-hmm. And so that is a part of my brand, is that I will deliver on certain things. But a big part of who I am is that I like to operate in uncharted territory.
I love that. I love that a lot. Yeah. But Vanessa, what about you?
I honestly have been thinking about how to answer that question for the last 5 minutes, and I've got nothing for you.
Well, I mean, listen, you write in places that you want. You're a natural light photographer, right? At some point, that becomes a thing.
That's true. You know, I think I've always just looked at like the next thing that I want to work for, or even if I haven't, you know, in my head, I don't write 5-year plans. I'm not trying to say I do that, sure. But I always just, okay, oh, there's something cool. Let me go do that, or let me try this. Let me fail at that. So I think I've always just run my life in that manner. So my photography follows the same way, and my business too. I'm always experimenting, always pushing, always trying something new and reaching for the what I thought was unobtainable. And now I'm going to find something else unobtainable to work for.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's great. What about you, Charmy?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, you getting from like really terrible to good is an easy journey, right? You just have to learn the basics and like get your act together on technicals, and then you're good.
But then, like, for a long time, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like getting to the next place is more about. I feel like we all maybe knew a little bit of what we wanted to be, but we didn't even know it until we saw ourselves do it. And then we're like, oh, that's who I am. And like, at least that's what it's been for me is like, I'll create work where I'm like, that's me. Like, that's definitely, yeah. So I don't think it's conscious. I think it's just a constant moving forward and experimenting and then I know when something is me.
And that changes. I think what the three of you are kind of saying is that it's a constant evolution of your style is always constantly changing as you push yourself more forward. Yeah. Yeah. And Adrian, do you have an answer?
Yes. Now that I'm clear on your question, at first I thought you said, how do I define myself? I was like, I don't have enough time to talk about this.
No, this is Dr. Phil.
How did I define my style? And so obviously I learned lighting from Jeff. I started with him and that's what, this is how you do this. And years ago, and he'll say this, like, we were lighting things before people were using off-camera flash. And then we're like, whoa, everyone's doing it. How do we step it up? And it was always this wee kind of thing. And I've gone to other workshops and people are like, but your work looks like this work looks like this work. And basically saying, you know, Jeff calls me his little tismin in training. And I felt like I kind of stayed under that umbrella. And sometimes maybe I do. Maybe I adapted that look because I hired him because I love what he does. You know, this was, I mean, it was many, many years ago, but I loved it. And so it wasn't that I took on something to copy it. It was like, I love how this looks.
You were inspired by it
that way. And I think in the last 3 years, something that I've implemented is I also was in some workshops about in-person sales, but not salesy garbage, really just how do I connect the what people want to the photographs that I'm making. And that has really become a turning point of doing fulfilling work, because now that I've had those conversations with people and they see that come to fruition and recognize a feeling that they've had and talked about in the photograph, now that photograph means something. So I could do all the fun stuff with the lights and this is cool and this is awesome and let's take it up and reflect the thing and here's a glass and shoot through. And you could do all that stuff. But then when they feel something, that means so much more to me. And, you know, I guess I'm worried less about the lights and the things now, although I enjoy it and I happen to favor that look. I'm more fulfilled now knowing that I can make something that is meaningful.
Yeah. It's about moments. Is that fair enough?
Well, it can be about moments, but sometimes, you know, on a engagement shoot, say it's not necessarily about a moment. It could be, I'm talking to them about a conversation we had together, like say with a couple, and I bring up something that they mentioned that they love about one another. And maybe in that moment, they're remembering what we talked about. But when they look at that photograph, they're recalling on, yeah, that's that thing. So just connecting. It's just connecting. It's a bridge to what they said and showing that visually in a photograph. And that has really been fulfilling. And so people won't even know because I still have the light's still there or it's not. And it still has the same look to it in my style. But that for me personally, I can add something that I know behind the scenes they'll look at and know something different. It's like more than a cool photo.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to ask you, I did a documentary on female chefs, and one of the things that kept coming up was how they were treated by sort of, you know, and I know that every industry is different, but how they were treated by maybe, I don't know, men in the industry. Now, I know you all kind of work for yourself, but has there been any of that for you guys like there is in the restaurant industry? Maybe, and I know you're not going to say that about Jeff, obviously, but, and I'm not looking to call anyone out here.
Yeah, for sure.
Expose by any means, but has that happened even in terms of, you know, groomsmen at a wedding or some of that stuff? Charmy, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I am a pretty, I don't think anyone could ever claim that I'm some kind of quiet, like you could expect people to harass me. Cause I like, you know, I feel like sometimes there's this idea that like, if you stand up for yourself, if you're a strong personality, nothing will happen. That's lies. Cause if you've met me, you know that I'm like 1,000% of myself all the time. And it can be scary. It's fine. But that doesn't stop people from like necessary. I mean, 90%, 95% of the time I have great experiences with everybody I work with. But I would definitely say that there's been, you know, a couple of videographers, a couple of.
Not me.
It's my husband, isn't it?
Yeah. Right away, we put that in.
No, he was actually really helpful and polite. No, I had, like, what is that? I've had crane operators call me B word.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'm talking cranes. Like, we're talking about New Jersey teeny tiny venues where they convinced the couple that they would get B-roll value out of a crane that took a quarter of the dance floor and almost took me out twice.
Right.
And then they're cursing
me. Shit. Yeah. That's hilarious to me.
But yeah, I mean, there's going to be the occasional man who thinks, I had a lecture from one guy once who was like, I was shooting video when you weren't even born yet. I'm like, okay, but I still got paid more than you. So I don't know what we're arguing about. And I just
congratulations. You're old.
I don't know. Does it happen? Yeah. Can it sometimes be a distraction? Yes.
Yeah.
I had a maitre d' call me sweetheart and tell me that at his venue, they don't do speeches on the dance floor. And I was like, what does this have to do with you? I don't tell you how to bust tables. Like,
yeah, it's weird. And I had a photographer once, I'm not going to call him out, say to me, an old school videographer, say that female photographer got in his way and he said, hey, honey, get out of my way or whatever. And I was like, why would you do that? You know, like I called him on that. He didn't understand it. You know, he went into like a braggadocious rant. But anyway, Vanessa, what about you on this one?
To be honest, I have always thought that being a woman in this industry was an advantage and not a disadvantage, just because we could relate to, you know, brides at the very least, and most couples in general, just kind of maybe the stereotype being that women are more emotionally connected to weddings than men are. But, you know, I'm sure I've had my fair share of whatever, but I kind of just give it right back to people. So it does, like, it doesn't faze me. I'm sure I could write my fair share of Me Too statements, but to me, it's just like, if they're going to choose to be an asshole, I'm going to choose to not remember it. So and move on with my life.
Yeah. Kesha, what about you on that?
Definitely have experienced my fair share of things. primarily people not expecting me to be the photographer, even with the 2-camera harness and gear straps all over my body. I've had people ask me if I was a makeup artist, or sometimes my husband shoots with me, they'll address him as main and things like that. And I'm always amused when people address my assistant or the second as the main photographer, you know, like the venue and things like that, asking, you know, game planning with who they assume to be the main. But you know, I think it's also just something that you it doesn't faze me. it comes with the territory. And then what I've found is that the more I tend to, in terms of my local area, work a lot of the same venues, and people get to know you, and
yeah,
and then a lot of that goes out the door. But yeah, certainly being a woman in the wedding photography industry certainly comes with its stuff. But it, as Vanessa mentioned, it is also a benefit. Even in onboarding new clients, there are some people who are intentional about seeking out a woman photographer. So
I believe that, yeah.
Certainly some pros.
Adrian, what about you?
Yeah, I have a few specific things I remember. And so I was helping, this is I think two years ago, I was helping my second wedding photographer, Todd Laffler. And right. I was...
that's right. He was for the second wedding. Right. Yeah. Right. Very talented guy.
And so I was helping him on a wedding. And the person, and I love these people, so there's no hard feelings. But I walked in and the assistant wasn't expecting me. And he's like, "Oh, you're working with the big boys now." And I was like,
what the fuck does that mean? Right.
Big boys. And then yeah. And then later I think they asked, like, am I gonna start shooting my own weddings or something? And I was just like, I've been. I've been since 2009. And I didn't know if in that moment I felt I had something to prove or puff up my chest, but I was just like, why is this occurring for me in an offensive way? And two, why is it about the big boys? Why are we referring to photographers as big boys? And
because they have small penises.
I know that Leeches is asshole. I do know that. Got that. Now, I wrote that on one of his checks for anal bleaching, but just to make him uncomfortable at the bank. Anyway, he doesn't do that. So did I take a turn?
You took a curveball. Yeah.
So a lot of honeys, sweethearts, and then things about like reference to the lenses, like just a lot of windows about the lenses. Oh, wow. What do you got there? And like Uncle So-and-so with their camera. And well, what kind of camera is that? And there was one time a Zap photographer at a wedding. He was like with the DJ, and he was super, super nice guy, super nice guy. And I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with him, but it was the end of the night. And I'm like, my time is up. My car is packed up. I'm ready to go. And he wants to talk about what he thinks the next thing is in photography. And I put my hand in my pocket. This was a strange occurrence, but I went with it. I put my hand in my pocket and I felt something very gooey. And I was just like, what's this? And I realized I had found an Andes candy, which is a trick. You find an Andes, you have to grab a handful. So those had melted in my pocket, and my finger was now jostling the melted chocolate. So I decided the only way I would stop this guy from speaking was to take my chocolate finger and suck the chocolate off in the parking lot. And at that moment, he had to leave. He's like, I gotta go. And I'm like, this is all I need is to get rid of people. It's like, no. Nice. But just, that, yeah, weird, strange moments that you're like, why do you need to say this stuff?
I have had, does everybody have a clause in their contract that says, if you harass
me? If I'm harassed, I can leave. Yeah.
So I've had to enforce that, unfortunately. Like, I had to.
No way.
Yeah. So there was a wedding where they didn't really have like a bridal party. Like, you could tell who their friends were, but they didn't have like an official bridal party. And so I never met the best man or I didn't even recognize him. Like, it was a full day Indian wedding, early in the morning, whatever. Never ran into this dude, not even once. And then at reception, he's giving his speech, and he, like, the videographer set up a light, and I don't really care because I have flash and I have an assistant that's running around after the speaker. It doesn't matter to me where they walk, but I felt bad for the videographer because he like walked all the way out and he was super drunk, and his speech consisted, like, the Indian community is super, super conservative, and even if people live together, you never mention it. And he's on the dance floor saying, like, the thing that the bride and I have in common is that we've both seen the groom naked, and her parents are dying, like, dying, because in their minds and to the community, they've never even met. So like, so he was that kind of drunk. So he like stepped out of the light. And so when I caught his eye, I did this. I literally, this is it. I was like, I'm like smiling and like super like friendly, whatever. Cause I was trying to help my poor videographer friend out. On the mic, he's like, and now the photographer hates me. And then he like threw down the mic and was like, wow. Ray Rice this bitch.
Ooh.
And I was like, peace out. I gotta go because I don't do that. Sorry.
Ooh.
Your drunk friend is your drunk problem. And
that's into the photography for the evening.
Yeah. Pete, I have one more thing if I could,
absolutely. Go for it.
Charmy, you reminded me of one thing that physically happened on a job. It was at the Liberty House. And the groom's dad was trashed. I don't think it wasn't his dad. It was his dad's friend. It wasn't the dad. Bunch of cops. This guy was like the autopsy photographer or something like that, the crime scene photographer. And he came in and he kept stepping in front of us, like first dance and all this stuff's going on. So I'm at, you know, Liberty House. There's like that balcony up top. So one photographer's up there. I'm down here. I'm on the floor and I'm shooting wide. So I'm low. This guy came right in front of me and stood in front of me, Uncle So-and-so, autopsy photographer. And so I stood up and I normally keep my calm. And I was like, what are you doing? And then he grabbed the end of my lens, pushed it against my face. And he's like, get out of here. And like, shoved. Wow. That's the only physical thing that's ever happened to me on a wedding, but shoved. And then I was on fire. My skin was tingling. I like marched after this guy and I'm like, wait, the bride. And I went back, but like a whole thing happened. People came and swept him away. And then the groom came over. He's like, I'm so sorry. He's just this, and had an excuse for it. But that's the worst. Probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. That's awful. Jeez.
Fingerprints all over the lens.
All right, look, I got some pictures here that I pulled from your websites. I'm going to try to share my screen. You never know how this is going to play out. Here we go. You just never know. Okay, share a screen. Here we go. Chrome tab. I am going to pick this one. Who is it?
Oh, that's
Vanessa Joy.
That is me.
Okay, and then I'm going to come back into StreamYard, and I'm going to... Well, anyway, tell me about that.
That is actually one of the very first times that the Profoto A1 was in my hands, and I was able to use it and play with it and record videos. So naturally, when new gear comes out and you have to play with it, it's super intimidating because it's, oh wow, I better take the best pictures I've ever taken in my life because this is going to go on YouTube. And that means everyone under the sun will ridicule me for the first time I've ever touched this piece of equipment. And now I use it. Yeah. Awesome. Let me tell you. That picture is actually just one that's not even my style whatsoever. But
by the way, that's why
it's more your style. Yeah,
that's why I picked it, because it's out of the realm of what maybe is a Vanessa Joy picture. So what makes you go for something like that in that moment?
Well, it was just trying to highlight the flash, and we were broad daylight, and I wanted to show the difference between how you can use flash to make it look like natural light versus to make it look like night, let's just say. So I took that picture and then I literally turned around and took a picture right behind them, or, you know, the 180 of them in a fake golden hour type setting. Didn't have the flash change power or gel or anything. I just changed my exposure. I was just trying to experiment and give, you know, Profoto as much as I could, but I ended up liking that photo because it wasn't one that was typically mine. And then I guess now, you know, if you can see, which way is it, that photo right there, it ended up being a little bit more my style. So now I do nighttime pictures day or night, whether, you know, I just don't necessarily show them, I guess, as much, because most of my clients want that, you know, they call me light and airy, But I think that's just because that's all the vocabulary they know for photography. I don't consider myself light and airy. You know, I really enjoy details and lights. But yeah, so we're just playing. There's a lot of photos that I just play. I never really post them, or I post them once in a while and kind of hide them later.
Yeah, well, that was a fun one. All right, let me see what else I have here. I'm moving off of Vanessa, sorry. And let's see here. I'm going to share a screen again. That worked, by the way. Okay. Boom. Here we go. Boom. Kesha.
Yeah, that was my last wedding before coronavirus shutdown. In St. Martin.
Yeah, it's a beautiful shot. So tell me a little bit about that.
So that wedding was on March 13th, I think about it.
Wow. That's where you spent the moments before coronavirus was.
Yeah. So day before I had to leave for that wedding, my children's school sent out the notification that school was being closed, because there was potential exposure, or students may have been exposed. So they sent out a notification that schools were closing, and I was leaving early the next morning for this wedding. So anxiety was a little bit up. mom guilt was a little bit up. but it was a beautiful wedding, beautiful couple. That is my very, very stylish bride, rocking a really fly tux. And that was her with her crew. I loved the, you know, I wanted to show a little bit of the setting and for them to show their style. And so that's how that happened.
That's cool. What was flying like for you coming back? Were you worried about all the virus stuff at that point, or?
So I was highly aware. my father's a retired doctor. My mom is a retired infection control nurse. And so, yeah, I've had a healthy awareness about, you know, how viruses spread and things like this for a long time running now. So Neil and my husband and I, we shot the wedding together. We were wearing masks and trying to social distance as best, you know, we were aware and being cautious about, you know, kind of doing the best we can to keep distance while traveling. It was still very early. The fears weren't on high. And so I would say I didn't see the greater majority of people exercising similar precautions. Mm-hmm. Our flight was lighter than usual. We had like an entire road to ourselves. like the entire row from both sides of the plane. But it's, you know, the vibe at the wedding once we got there, kind of, and even I, we had a great time. Really, the couple, I mean, I had really great relationships with our couples. We felt like we were with family. and no one was really talking about it. Focus was on the celebration. It did come up in conversation once. But for the most part, no one was really talking about it. People who were traveling didn't seem to be really overly concerned. Like I mentioned, there weren't very many masks. Right. Yeah, but it was very early on. Shutdowns were just beginning to be announced.
Yeah, it must have been scary. All right, let's see. We got another one here. Okay. Chrome tab, I am going boom.
Thinking. Oh, wow.
Adrian.
Wow. That's so funny.
Okay, wow.
Oh, man, my old studio address.
Why is that funny that I?
Why is it?
Sorry about that.
Because earlier when you asked to if we had a chance to gather some photos that to share.
Yes.
That, of course, I went to like Instagram and I'm like, what do I like? And I feel something off of that photo. And this was like the end of the night. The girls were dancing, drinking, whipping their hair around. And it's a very simply executed photo. The worst part of that photo was that I got stung by a bee.
Nice.
Yeah. I was messing around with something that was like a sawn off tree stump or something. And there was a beehive in it. I upset them, but it was just a backlight. And then I shot along the string lights that were at Waterloo Village. And I happen to know that couple. I knew the one bride from a family friend of mine. My friends bought her childhood home. So they knew me throughout the years and reached out when they were getting married. And actually I was like, this is special. I would love to do this. So that couple is actually very special to me. And in that, what I love about that moment is Kara, she's more to the right. I feel her breath in that photo. And and Melissa was filming that. And so it was interesting, both of our perception of that photo, when Melissa was editing the audio on that, she put a faint heartbeat in it. And Melissa felt like her vision was she felt a heartbeat. And my vision was I feel her breath. And there was just something about them taking each other in that feels so romantic. And these girls were trashing it. They had bottles of beer moments before. They were wild, ripping their dresses up. And it became such a beautiful romantic moment, just them. And it's I don't know, it's kind of warm and fuzzy to see those things transpire.
Sure.
And, my mind is, okay, I got this. Let me go outside and see if I can find something. That's just always the run through. Let's see what else I could do now and do a night shot. And
Melissa, I just cut you off. Melissa has wrote in this room, it was her actual heartbeat.
Oh, right. Oh my God. It was her actual heartbeat. It was audio.
Also, I'm supposed to ask you, Vanessa, about her pantsuit. This has popped up into
the board. Where are these questions?
They're just popping up on the right hand side. I just decided to look at some of them. Tell me about Vanessa's pantsuit. What's that about?
That was from
thank you for the question.
40 minutes ago. That was having to do with me being so scared even up until about 2 years ago that I wouldn't be able to make it as a photographer, that I still held on to all of my corporate wardrobe thinking I would need it again because I'd have to get a real job. but I threw them away about 2 years ago.
Nice. Very freeing. We got rid of those. Cool. And all right. And then look, Susan Williams says, just be smart. Wash your hands, sanitize. We can't go around being scared and fearful. So there you go. Okay. Some comments. All right. Let me show you the last here of these photos that I picked. And then if you guys have some photos you want to share, we can do that too. If not, that's fine as well. Here we go. I'm sharing the screen. Boy. Let's see. It's Charmy's.
I assumed.
Boom.
I'm surprised that's
how did that go?
You picked. But okay.
I went for it.
No, that's good. That's fine.
I pick one and you pick one. Yeah, go ahead.
that's in a that venue has nothing going on except for those little forests between parking areas.
Mm-hmm.
That is a forest between parking areas.
Wow.
So yeah,
but that's awesome to make something out of nothing like that.
Yeah, and just a reflector. You can't see her, but my assistant was in there with them with just a teeny tiny 2-foot reflector so that they would have something on them. And that's it. It's natural light. And sometimes you got to find a way to fake around your environment. So what you can't see is there's buses behind them and a parking lot behind me. That's it.
All right, Charmy, I'm going to share one more picture of yours. Don't be offended, everybody. I just wanted to ask you about this. Let's see.
Ah, I love this. So it's
So
this was day 2 or 3 of the wedding, and it's tradition in South Indian cultures to do like, in addition to the turmeric that you do on your skin, you also basically get bathed by the women in your family. But, like, if you're going to be bathed in public, they want it to be beautiful. So they have these, like, trays or pitchers or, like, all these really beautiful metal, whatever, I don't even know what your vessels that pour the water in, like, a nice pattern. And so that's what everyone uses. And they may have used very, very cold water on this, like, really hot day. And so she got caught off guard a little bit.
Nice.
But yeah, I was all up in her business and I went home a little wet myself. It's okay.
Okay. Well, do you guys have some photos to share or not really?
I don't. It is about my bedtime, actually, because nice. My child will wake up very soon, all too soon.
Well, listen, guys, I'm all about gratitude these days. So I want to give you each an opportunity to shout somebody out. Maybe that was helpful in your lives. And then I'll say something nice about you. So, Sharmi, is there anyone that you would like to say something nice about? Maybe maybe someone that helped you along the way in your career?
The person who gave me the door in was, does everyone know who Marie LeBanz is?
Yes.
Yeah. So she shot my wedding 14 years ago. And right after I got married, when I was being a bored housewife, it was really bad at being a bored housewife. She was like, why don't you come carry my bags? Carried her bags for 6 months or something. And she would always hand me her camera with an 85 on it and be like, I don't need this camera. I already have two. Like, this is my third extra camera. I only use it during portraits. You should shoot with it when I don't need you. And for like the first 3-4 weddings, I didn't even take one photo because I was like, I'm going to take a bad picture and she's going to judge me. And I got over it. But she gave me a chance. And then she let me second shoot for her. And she gave me she like fast forwarded things for me, you know, because I got to see someone at the top of their game shoot day in, day out. And I was too scared to shoot, so I was just paying attention to what she was doing.
Nice. Okay. So, Sharmi, for you, I appreciate so much that every time that I reach out to you about something that is going on and I ask you for advice, you're the first one to give advice and to be extremely helpful. As I said, moving to Los Angeles was a big thing, and you totally walked me through some of the stuff that you had been through. So I think that it's probably something that's a great quality that you have, that you're always sort of there for people, you know, helping them along their path, much like the person you just referenced. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay, Kesha, someone you want to shout out?
Yes, there are. There are many somebodies that have been helpful. And so I'm going to mention someone who is not in the photography industry, but in the wedding industry. And sneak in the mentions of Charmy and Tamaya Colvin and Audrey Willard. These are photographers that have been instrumental in kind of nudging and pushing and encouraging my photography career. But a client and friend, a longstanding client and friend, she's actually a bridal gown designer, Pantora Bridal, a young entrepreneur, woman entrepreneur, mompreneur, powerhouse. She runs a very successful bridal brand, but I was also her wedding photographer. And I photographed many, many of her life events. And she's just a brilliant human being. And though she's not in the photography industry, she's just been very instrumental in kind of, you know, advising and guiding and being a loyal client and strong-arming other people to be loyal clients. I really credit her for helping my business to grow. So Andrea, I didn't even say her actual name. Her name is Andrea Pitter, and she's the founder of Pantora Bridal, and I love her.
So I'm for Kesha, I don't know you all that well yet, but I'm so happy that you agreed to come in here and chat and share a little bit of your story. I think it's fascinating, and I hope our paths get to cross more in the future, because I think you're awesome. So
thank you. Likewise. Thank you so much for inviting me into the fold.
Absolutely. Adrian, and I've given you some gratitude somewhere on one of these before, I think, but we'll do it again. Go ahead. Who do you want to shout out?
We've got years.
Yeah.
fair. Yes. So, I mean, obviously, Jeff. I always mention Jeff. I always thank Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Big tit. And I would never have been in the wedding world without him. So that's first and foremost. And through all of this, I've really discovered like how well my wife and I are getting along. And so I would thank her because we really love each other. And I'm like, yeah, we're doing pretty good at this isolation thing. And, I feel like it could be a make or break. You could either be like wild and crazy or you could be, together and on the same front and loving. So that's where we're at. And I'm super thankful for that. And something that I really don't bring up or mention often is some work that I had done years ago. I had done some workshops, and then I was in a leadership program, and then I coached a leadership program, and all of that helped me. I know you and I had talked about it briefly here and there, and I think it's helping me keep a level mind during all of this, because the moment I want to realistically, like, I want to be afraid about things, and I want to say, shrug my shoulders and be like, I don't know what to do. How's this going to work? And those are all like victim positions. And having done that work, I had so many people really teach me and train me how to not be stopped by my thoughts and feelings or whatever kind of considerations I have, like acknowledge that those are really there, but that like, don't be stopped by those. So I'm super thankful for having had all that training and work and support from a lot of awesome people in that world of leadership that were able to instill those things in me. And in turn, I feel happy and positive. And although I do have fear, I'm not being stopped by it.
Okay.
Sorry, did that take it down?
No. Anyway, Adrian, obviously I love you. I love you and Melissa. You guys are like almost like family to me at this point. You know, we spend quite a lot of time together and I just think the world of you. So I kept it brief because I think I gave you another one at some other point. So and all of the other stuff. Yeah. Vanessa, well, who do you got?
Well, I guess I'll thank the guy that's been in the chat here in YouTube, Seth. He's one of my fellow Adorama TV hosts, and without him, I'd have so many misconceptions about light and the way it works from either the way I was just taught wrong. It's amazing how much we are taught incorrectly for one reason or another, or just looked at something and assumed, you know, Photoshop was light when it wasn't, which was really interesting to learn. And so it's, you know, thanks to Seth who can teach old dogs new tricks.
And thanks, Seth, for participating here. I appreciate it. Vanessa, listen, I just want to say I think you're an amazing photographer, yes, but I think you're an incredible human. Every time I see one of your posts or we chat about a little something here or there, it's always inspiring in some ways. And I think from the people that I have met along the way that have been inspired by you, that is a lot. You know, there's a lot of people that have been inspired by you, not even only the work that you do, but just your being. So I think the world of you. And it's also very, to all of you as a videographer that I've worked with, all of you, you're all very easy to work with. And that's much appreciated because we all know what the challenges can be like when that's not like that on both sides of that coin. So thank you. And thank you all for doing this. This was a lot of fun. I'd love to do some more with you and look at more pictures. Vanessa, I'm sorry I didn't pick something that you like more.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
It's on my website, so I like it enough.
Cool.
Can we say hi to Sharon real quick?
What's that?
Sharon. She's in the comments.
Oh, Sharon. Yeah, I love her. Yeah.
I think Sharon's
the most talented, one of the most talented videographers that I know. And I don't even like to call use that word, but yes.
Obsessed.
Yes.
I mean, she's also amazing to work with and just super fun. And I just want her guns.
Yeah. And she's also like yourself. And I would have said this to her, and I, spoiler alert, if you're ever on this, but she's another person that I feel like inspires a lot of people. And is just a great human. So it's just really always wonderful to see. So anyway, guys, thanks for doing this. Much appreciated. And go out and do your thing, guys. All right?
Thank you.
All right.
This is awesome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.